Hello. My name is Leslie. Welcome to our podcast featuring excerpts from Dr. Ed's morning briefing, which is produced by our team at Yordani Research. Today's commentary is dated Tuesday, March 3, 2020, entitled Back to Business. The first topic recaps what's known and not yet known about the COVID-19 virus. We don't intend to write much about COVID-19 today. We intend to spend most of our time with you on updating the latest developments in the U.S. economy. That doesn't mean that we have a handle on the impact of the latest virus outbreak on the economy and financial markets. But here's a recap of what we have and haven't learned so far. Point number 1, COVID-19 is contagious. It spreads quickly unless the government contains it by imposing extreme measures including quarantines, suspensions of international flights, border closings, school closings, and warnings to prepare for the worst. These measures are very disruptive to our everyday business and personal lives. They are depressing global economic activity and sent stock prices plunging last week. Point number 2, COVID-19 may or may not be more lethal than the seasonal flu. On a percentage basis, it seems to be killing more people who get infected with it than those who get the seasonal flu. However, for most people, the symptoms are relatively mild, and recovery is fairly quick. Point number 3, most alarming seems to be that people with COVID-19 infections could be asymptomatic for several days. So, they can inadvertently spread it. Then again, it may be so mild in many people that their infections aren't included in the daily case counts. If so, then the percentage of deaths of those infected might be a lot lower than reported. Point number 4, COVID-19 may or may not go away once the weather warms up. However, it is infected areas that are warm now, such as Singapore. If it does go away in a month or two, it may or may not come back like the seasonal flu. In other words, we may just have to learn to live with it, taking reasonable health precautions, and without the extreme measures that are disrupting the global economy and our lives. The second topic puts the COVID-19 outbreak into perspective. As noted above, governments are responding to the COVID-19 epidemic with extreme measures that are depressing the global economy. Maybe motor vehicles should be banned as well to stop all the injuries and deaths they cause. The Association for Safe International Road Travel reports. Point number 1, around the world, nearly 1.25 million people die in road crashes each year, representing 3,287 deaths a day on average. Point number 2, an additional 20 million to 50 million people are injured or disabled. Point number 3, road traffic crashes account for 2.2% of all deaths globally. Point number 4, over 90% of all road fatalities occur in low and middle-income countries. Point number 5, road crashes cost $518 billion globally, costing individual countries from 1% to 2% of their annual GDP. I'm guessing that in a worst-case scenario, the damage from COVID-19 may be in the same ballpark. The good news is that technological innovation is making driving much safer as motor vehicles become autonomous, requiring no steering wheel, accelerator, or brake pedals. Perhaps technological innovation will help to protect us better from those pesky viruses. Jackie will investigate that for a story in this Thursday's morning briefing. Stay tuned. The third topic focuses on our GDP forecast, which we are shaving. Yesterday, we lowered our estimates for S&P 500 revenues and earnings per share. Today, we are doing the same for our outlook for real GDP in the U.S. However, we think most of the weakness in S&P 500 revenues will be attributable to U.S. companies' overseas sales. Consider the following. Point number 1, why RI GDP? We are cutting our forecast for real GDP growth this year from 2.3% to 2.0%. Capital spending is likely to be weighed down by uncertainties about how long and how badly the current global health crisis will depress the global economy. In addition, U.S. exports are likely to be weighed down by the weakness in overseas economies. We expect that consumer spending and residential investment both will continue to grow solidly. we are cutting our forecast for the average 10-year U.S. Treasury bond yield during each of this year's four quarters to 1.25% from 1.75%. The resulting drop in mortgage rates should continue to boost home sales and construction. Housing-related retail sales should provide lots of support to consumer spending. We expect that employment gains will remain solid. We also predict that inflation-adjusted wages will continue to rise to record highs this year, with nominal wage gains exceeding the PCED, personal consumption expenditures deflator, inflation rate as they have been doing since the mid-1990s, by the way. Point number 2, GDP Now. We continue to track the Atlanta Fed's GDP Now projections for the current quarter's real GDP growth rate, based on the latest weekly and monthly economic indicators. Yesterday's estimate for first quarter was raised from 2.6% to 2.7%. The latest Now cast is showing real personal consumption expenditures up 2.2%, real capital spending up 5.2%, and real government spending up 1.7%. Point number 3, MPMI. All of the available high-frequency indicators used by the GDP Now model are pre-virus. However, February's MPMI, which is incorporated into the model and was released yesterday, may just be starting to weaken as a result of supply chain and demand disruptions caused by the global health crisis. But not by much. The index edged down from 50.9 during January to 50.1 last month. That corresponds to a 2.1% increase in real GDP, according to the report of the Institute for Supply Management. Of the 18 manufacturing industries included in the monthly survey, 14 reported growth in February. 10 quotes from respondents about business conditions were included in the report. 6 mentioned the virus as a looming problem for supply chains and demand. The MPMI is highly correlated with the year-over-year growth rate in S&P 500 revenues, which rose 4% during third quarter, and, we estimate, around 5% during fourth quarter. Comparisons are likely to be weak during the first half of this year, but should improve during the second half of this year, along with the improvement in the global economy we expect. Point number 4, truck and rail car traffic. The major transportation indicators we monitor are continuing to lose momentum. The 12-month moving average of the ATA truck tonnage index edged up to a record high during January, but the actual index was up just 0.8% year-over-year. More disturbing is that sales of medium-weight and heavy trucks has dropped 23.8% during the past 4 months through January. The MPMI tends to be a leading indicator for the growth rate of rail car loadings. The former is mildly bullish for the latter, which has been one of the economy's more bearish indicators. We can attribute much of the weakness in rail car loadings since early last year to rail car loadings of intermodal containers, which can be explained by the weakness in the growth of the sum of inflation-adjusted exports plus imports. So Trump's escalating trade war weighed on U.S. trade and intermodal rail car traffic. Now the global health crisis could have the same depressant effects on U.S. trade. Point number 5, West Coast ports traffic. We track the relationship between U.S. rail exports and outbound West Coast ports container traffic. We do the same for rail imports using the comparable inbound series. The ports data are more current than the government's data by about a month. However, they are available only through January, i.e., before the virus started to hit the global economy hard. Both the outbound and inbound series have been weakening in recent months. It's easy to predict that they both got worse during February. That's all for now. Thanks for listening today. Please let Dr. Ed know if I am doing a better job for you than Siri or Alexa. Please see the hedge clause on our website www.yourdanny.com. Have a great day.